matto, di schioro matto. Domonica Talking to me radio, da 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 da.
Welcome, 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 girls and boys, nerds and geeks, to another all-new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Today we are playing a lightning round where we catch up on all the things we've been doing in the past week, a review of Fan Expo Dallas, of Wizard World St. Louis, we'll have an interview with Sean Gunn, and we'll have Kyber lightsabers on. If you're looking to do some Star Wars cosplay, they can help you out. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
And if you're listening live right now, either streaming us on the TuneIn radio app or listening if you're in the St. Louis area, listening to us on 1260, thank you very much for your support. If you are listening to us after the fact in the podcast, downloaded via either Podomatic or iTunes, we thank you very much for subscribing and listening to us there as well. We also need to thank our wonderful sponsors, HistoricStCharles.com. They've been with us since the beginning, and we couldn't be more proud to be having them sponsor us. I was just doing a video shoot for their Board of Tourism, and it's amazing when you think about all this stuff, the Historic St. Charles, the history, how long they've been there. Just it's so cool to take a walk down those cobblestone streets. And if you're out today in the St. Louis area and you haven't don't have plans maybe yet, maybe you haven't gonna have a late lunch or an early dinner, stop by Historic St. Charles right there on Main Street. You just take Highway 70 across the Blanchett Bridge if you're coming from the St. Louis area. Get off there on the 5th Street exit and head down the Boonslick Inn Trail. And there's all sorts of unique shopping and dining experiences. Just park and walk. I mean, you're not going to find a bad place. There's lots of unique dining and shopping opportunities there, as we've always said. And with the weather as beautiful as it is today, you can walk through Katy Park, Frontier Park out there, and check out the old train depot. They got the big caboose, so you can take a look at those things. You can read all the placards on the walls. If you're a history buff, there's no better place to check out all the cool stuff there is. And if you're a fat kid like me, you got to hit Little O's. Get yourself a gooey butter milkshake. I'm not even kidding. They are amazing. But there's all sorts of things to see and do up and down Historic Main Street. And maybe you're not out right now. Maybe you're like, oh, well, that'd be a nice something to do next weekend. Hit up their website, historicstcharles.com, and take a look at all the things there are to see and do in Historic St. Charles. We're very lucky to have such a gem of a place to visit right here in our area. So check them out, historicstcharles.com. Very, very proud to have them as the premier sponsor of Geek to Me Radio. So it's been a while since I've been here live. Joey, I almost forgot what you look like.
Glad to have you. We did dress up alike just so I could look like a mirror. We're wearing the same red shirt, basically.
We look like twinsies. We're doing the Groucho Marx mirror routine right now. That's amazing.
I love you, Billy, and I push my nipple.
That's not on the air. Let's not discuss that on air. That's
the glass.
That's for the podcast version. But yeah, it's nice to be back. 2 weeks ago, I was at Fan Expo Dallas, and that was a fantastic time. They had a huge litany of stars, both comic book artists and writers. They had Gail Simone. They had Mike Zeck, who is one of my favorites ever since I was growing up. He did the Marvel Secret Wars series. You can see his work on Captain America. He did the famous cover with him and the machine gun. He's all the way out through his career, he's worked at just some fantastic, iconic comic book covers that Mike Zeck has done. But they had a bunch of other people there. Jim Lee, for crying out loud. And there was almost so much to do, I was on geek overload. I didn't get to see and do everything I wanted because they did a great job. It was a great expo, but they packed so much in. I almost wish they would have added a Thursday so that you could get that extra day in there to get to everybody you wanted to get to. And see everybody. Stan Lee was there. Jim Lee was there. They had Jeffrey Dean Morgan and I was going to say Daryl Dixon. That's not his real name. Norman Reedus. What a fan I am. Norman Reedus was there. So two stars from The Walking Dead who played Daryl and Negan, respectively. Norman Reedus plays Daryl. Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays Negan. And wow, they were crowded. If you go to my Twitter page, or you can check me out on Facebook.com/GeekToMeRadio. Twitter, it's @GeekToMeRadio. And obviously Instagram, @GeekToMeRadio. Check out some of the pictures I posted. They were mobbed. And the problem was, they were flying back to do an episode of Talking Dead that Sunday. So they had to burn out of there. They were supposed to be there Saturday and Sunday. So everyone who had Sunday passes for tickets, for autographs, and photo ops swarmed down on Saturday. And you could barely move in that place because everyone was trying to change their thing. And, hey, can I get in line? Not everybody got to see Daryl Dixon. Not everybody got to see Negan. But I know that Fan Expo Dallas, I will say their staff handled everything with great aplomb. They were on top of everything. I got to get Mark Hamill to sign a Funko Pop Luke Skywalker exclusive where he had the Bespin one where he had his hand chopped off. I had him sign that. So I got to shake hands with Mark Hamill. That was the main reason I went, was Mark Hamill. But they had so many other people, Burt Ward and Adam West. Burt Ward we'd had on the show before. They had Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, who ended up showing up at Wizard World St. Louis as well. We'll get to that one next. They had James Marsters from Smallville and Torchwood and Buffy. They had Jason Isaacs, who was obviously from the Harry Potter franchise and was on a little-known NBC show called Awake, which only lasted one season because it's NBC. Don't get me started. There was so much stuff, like I said, between the comic book talent and the TV show and movie talent they had. Catherine Tate and John Barrowman were there. Alex Kingston from Arrow and Doctor Who was there. And it was almost overload. You couldn't get it all done. But everything was very smoothly organized and well ran. So I was very impressed with Fan Expo Dallas. I just hope that next year they'll add an extra day to the con so that I can try to get everything done. That was my only complaint about Fan Expo Dallas.
What makes a good con? Is it just the names specifically, or is there more to it?
I think it depends on who you talk to. I think a lot of people, that's a nice segue into Wizard World, because Wizard World, people are complaining there weren't enough comic book talent there. In years past, we've had artists like Ethan Van Sciver, who did a great run, obviously, on Green Lantern Rebirth and the Flash series, and the Blackest Night series. They had some higher name talent. They had some great people this year. I had a great interview with Barbara Slate, who worked on some fantastic 90s comics for Marvel, Barbie and Beauty and the Beast and Pocahontas and the Disney-oriented stuff. And she was fantastic to talk to. We had a great interview, which I'll get to at some point down the road. We can't fit it all in, unfortunately. I talked to Danny Fingeroth, who is the editor of the Marvel books and who also helped write Darkhawk for its 50-issue run in the 90s. So they were both fantastic interviews. I'll have those for you. If not, check out my YouTube page. Go to Geek to Me Radio, click the YouTube badge, and subscribe, because if I can't get to them on the air, I'll put them up there, so make sure you're subscribing to all my social media to keep up with everything. But yeah, I think it really depends on who you ask, Joey. Some people want more comic book talent. Some people want kind of these esoteric people coming in, voiceover actors, as Max Boyce, when he was on the... He and I have an affinity for voiceover actors. So you could have just Kevin Conroy, Lauren Lester, Phil Lamar, Susan Eisenberg at a convention, and we'd go. We'd pay $100 a ticket to get in. So it just depends on who you ask. Like, as kind of someone who's not into the geeky thing as I am, what would entice you to go to a con? Who would you like to see? Is there someone, a particular fandom or someone I'd definitely go to see this person.
Well, I love going with the girlfriend, and she's obsessed with Harry Potter, and I'm really into it as well. So probably someone from that universe. So the Weasley twins were at Wizard World, and she thought that's a great con, but other people thought, you know, that's a last minute ad. They could have got bigger people, but you know, it's each their own, I think, when it comes to a con. It's hard to say what's a good one and a bad one. I know visually, you know, if they have giant banners and it seems like the roped off sections are handled well and there's crowd control, I think that's important as well.
Yeah, and Fan Expo Dallas did a great job. Wizard World had a new setup this year. I can't remember, did you and your girlfriend end up going to Wizard World this year?
Not this year, but the pictures looked way different than what I remembered when I went 2 years ago.
Yeah, they had a different floor plan set up, especially for the celebrity autographs. Normally, they're kind of all along the walls of the dome, and they have them roped off and everything, and you stand in line there at their desk. Well, they had them kind of a little more intimate setting, which I liked, but the lines got a little confusing. People were thrown by it. I think that's just because it's the first year. If you have something new, you're not used to it, you're not sure how it works, That could have just been first year thing. I think it looked good. It definitely saved on some space, which I kind of like the more spread out look too. But sadly, Wizard World was not as well as attended as it had been in years past. I think because they kept losing big names, they lost Barry Boswick, they lost Michael C. Hall, they lost James Remar, they lost Lou Ferrigno. They did a good job picking up people. They got Evan Peters at the last minute. They had Charisma Carpenter at the last minute. So they got some good people. And like I said, I would have paid money just to see Kevin Conroy and Lauren Lester, the voice of Batman and Nightwing slash Robin. That was what I was going for anyway. It was great to talk to James Marsters, and we played his interview last Saturday when I was down there live about his Vidiots show. And if you haven't gone to that yet, check him out. Vidiots, just like it sounds, V-I-D-I-O-T-S, Vidiots online on Twitter. And it's basically James Marsters and his partner Mark playing video games. And it's really cool. So check that out. We encourage you to do so. They were perfectly nice. Wizard World was good. It just, I think in years past, we've not had a big star this year like we had in years past with Nathan Fillion, Stan Lee. We had Doctors 10 and 11, David Tennant and Matt Smith and Billy Piper last year. So it's kind of hard when you come off of something like that to go, oh, well, we've got the Weasley twins, which I love Harry Potter. Don't get me wrong. And had they had Hermione or, you know, like four or five of the dark arts teachers, if they had resurrected Alan Rickman, that would have been worth the price of admission right there. But obviously that's not going to happen, sadly. But if they can do it in Star Wars with Grand Moff Tarkin, they could have just had a CGI Alan Rickman, like a holographic Tupac.
Of course. That's what I was thinking, too. Come out and do his little... I guess he's a rapper as well, Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman,
he has many
yeah.
talents.
Yes, exactly. Very talented guy. He could have done that. Sure, mm-hmm. sure. But yeah, it just depends on who you ask. It's not that Wizard World St. Louis was bad. It's just that it... In years past, having had been so incredible, it was not on par with years past. It was still a great time. I think it was well worth the money. Gene Simmons from Kiss obviously was there. I like how Wizard World incorporates a lot of different pop culture where other expos focus on the comic books. So it just depends. We've got a lot of options out there, which is great for the fandom that you can have a lot from which to choose. Because a lot of these things are so high priced, you do have to pick and choose what to do with your money, especially in this economy, which is, it's great to have choices, but at the same time, not each one is going to be something everyone wants. A lot of the comments on Wizard World were not kind this year on Facebook and on Twitter. But again, to each his own. I enjoyed it just for seeing Kevin Conroy. James Marsters was fantastic. Lauren Lester couldn't have been nicer, the voice of Robin and Nightwing. And we had his interview as well last week, as well as James Marsters. So it just depends. There's a lot out there. You can go to a website called upcomingcon.com to check out and see what cons there are in your area. And, of course, we recommend you check out the Nerd Out app in your area as well. They'll have a list of all those. We are going to take our first break. We'll be back in the next segment with Kyber Lightsabers, talking all about their cool and lifetime warranty lightsabers you can use for your Star Wars cosplay. We'll have more. Stand by.
Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, Snap Wexley from Star Wars, and it's all geek to me, my friends.
We are back here on Geek to Me Radio. This segment sponsored by the Nerd Out app that we mentioned before with Wizard World and Fan Expo Dallas. If you're out there and you're looking, hey, what's a con coming close by me? You can download the Nerd Out app, and it will tell you exactly what's going on in your area. You can search by city. You can create a profile. You can check out pictures of other people's cosplay. You can check out, they have a list of escape rooms in your area if you like doing those, like solving puzzles and going to stuff like that. And that way you never have to miss out on some geeky thing that's going out in your area, some cool nerd event. So you want to download that for your iPhone, for your Android, for your tablet, or whatever it is you have that you do all your mobile computing on. You can download the Nerd Out app. And they're great people. You can send them an email if you have something going on in your area. Send them an email. New Comic Book Day is coming up, for crying out loud. First weekend of May here. So you can check out which stores might be participating in that, all from one handy app. That's the Nerd Out app. Make sure you download that now. And speaking of cool stuff, we are going to go live to our first guest right now. We have on the air, Sean Whitney, the owner of Kyber Lightsabers. Sean, thanks for being on air with us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's our pleasure.
So I was, you know, you see all these ads pop up on Facebook and you're like, yeah, 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 that's cool. It's kind of scary how Facebook knows what you're looking at. But I saw this ad come up for these very cool looking lightsabers with hilts that I'd never seen before, anything else. So I checked out your site and wow, these are really good looking sabers you guys make.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. You know, it's a project that we actually started about a year ago. And our whole goal was to make it so people can customize their lightsaber again and again and again and give them just an amazing opportunity to, you know, shift their mood from dark side to light side or whatever you're feeling that day. And that's really kind of the catalyst behind Kyber Light, the concept.
And I noticed you've got all these different colors. It's got the different sound effects you guys can use. Any of the blades you originally started out with, are they based on concept designs from some of the concept art for the series, or is it just kind of like your own thing? Hey, this would look cool.
Yeah. See, our concept was that we wanted to provide this high-end, super high-end feature set on lightsabers, but make it affordable for everybody. And so, and also we wanted to make it so people could customize their own lightsaber again and again. And so we really didn't base it on any of the movies necessarily on those designs. We felt like each Jedi, each person that loves lightsabers needs to be able to build their own, make it customize and make it very, very unique to each person. And so that's what's really great about Kyber Light is, A, of course, the price point's amazing and the feature set's very, very high, but we have 20 built-in colors. So you can shift between 20 different colors on the fly. You don't have to plug it into a computer or do anything like that. You just touch the button and it flops over to different colors. And then you have customization. So you can customize the top piece or what we call the emitter piece. You can customize the sleeve, or also known as the shroud. And you can also customize the pommel piece, the bottom piece. And so you can shift those. We have a wide variety of colors. Right now we have about 35 different accessories that you can choose from to actually customize your own lightsaber. And if you get bored with it after 2-3 days, do it again. And so we thought it'd be a lot of fun to do that. And it's turned out to be amazing. The response has just been fantastic.
So obviously you're a Star Wars fan to start with, or was this kind of like we can capitalize on these nerds? Here's what we can do.
No. Actually, I've been a Star Wars fan since the original New Hope in 1977. I was 11 years old when that came out. And I ended up seeing it 13 times in the theater.
Wow.
And then, of course, just been a voracious fan ever since, you know. And this really started when my own son went to buy kind of what we call an aftermarket saber. And we went to buy them, and we wanted to get kind of the higher feature sets, meaning sound, you know, color, some different things. And quickly we were up into the $650 to $800 range, and we're going, wow, that's for a 14-year-old to afford that, that's almost impossible. And so we actually had a different business that dealt with LEDs, that dealt with plastics and these kind of things. And we said, you know what, we think we can do this better than what's being done. And our goal was to make it so everyone could have that $800 feature set, but have it at under $200. So all the Star Wars fans can have an amazing lightsaber. And then the other thing that we noticed was that you buy these lightsabers, you spend $650, $800 on one, and it sits in your room, and you're like bored with it after 3 or 4 days. You're like, well, that's cool, but I want another one.
Right.
Well, you don't have another $800 to go seek a saber. Your wife or your mom will kill you. And so we thought, what if we made it more like the Legos of lightsabers, where you could mix and match and buy new pieces, and as cool things come out, you can improve your saber. And just have fun with it. Make the whole saber experience really, really fun. And yet at the same time, be super high-end, really durable, absolutely fightable. So you can fight at full speed with these and not worry about breaking them. So that's what we set out to do, and that's what we've done at Kyber Light. And it's been a ton of fun.
And you guys have a lifetime warranty on the blade, I noticed, too. Is that obviously you must have very durable stuff if you can offer a lifetime warranty on something like that.
Yeah, we actually put together a proprietary blend, a polycarbonate proprietary blend, that makes it extremely durable, but at the same time flexible. So you can fight as fast as you want, as hard as you want. And in most cases, it won't break. We've had a couple break, but we feel confident enough that in the strength of the blade that you can fight with it, it's not going to get hurt. And if it does get hurt, we stand behind them. And so we'll give you a lifetime warranty. You break it for any reason, we don't care if you incinerate it, run over it, get it into the sun, it doesn't really matter. We'll send you a new blade. And we've done that. You know, we've had a couple that have broken, mainly the tip. People seem to break our tips. I don't know why. But anyway, but people fight pretty hard with these things, and it doesn't matter. So, you know, fight as hard as you want. If it breaks, we'll just give you another one.
That's amazing, especially at the price point, too, that you're offering that. That's fantastic. I don't see why. Because I know I've gone to conventions before, and they do have these lightsabers that are out there. I'm like, oh, can I get this with that? And they're like, no. So they don't offer the customizable. So I think that's really brilliant that you guys have. I'm looking at your website right now. By the way, if you're listening, it's Kyber Light, spelled like just like the crystal, KYBERlight.com, all one word. And you can also check them out there on Facebook, facebook.com/KyberLight. But just the colors of the handles and the shrouds, as you were saying, it's, are you guys planning on releasing more? Do you guys set right now?
Yeah, we're actually working on a couple of different ones right now. We're at the end of this month, we'll be launching a leather sleeve, so you can make your handle leather, which is a really cool feature. And then we just launched a couple of new different colors, like for our claw, which is really a popular emitter piece. We've got a chrome one, and we've got a nice red, and we have a black, all of that piece. And we just launched a couple of new, what we call the Kepler piece, which is kind of that shaved, sharper piece that you see like on Luke Skywalker and that kind of thing. So we've got a gold one of those, a silver one, and now a black one. And so, you know, so a total, we have about 35 pieces. We've got several other ones coming. One we call Bowshock, which is really an awesome piece. It's a copper looking swooped back pommel piece, which is really, really fun. It's a little heavy and very dangerous, so I wouldn't fight too much with it because it's sharp, but it's really, really cool looking. So and then a whole bunch of other things. We got a stand coming out. We've got some more blades coming out with some diffusion wrap. So if you're into the diffusion wrap, we at the beginning didn't actually do diffusion wrap because we just thought that it crinkled and got damaged sometimes when you fight really hard.
Sure.
And so we actually frosted our blades so that it carries the light, but it's very fightable and doesn't get damaged very easily. So, and then we also have you go to kyberlight.com, and you can go on Facebook and check us out. But we have a promo right now just for your listeners today.
There we go.
And so if you go on and you want to check it out and you want to buy something, as you check out, when you hit the cart, you'll see at the bottom a little thing called discount code. Just put in KyberLove, KYBERLOVE, 17. KyberLove 17 is the discount code. That will give you 20% off your entire purchase. So pretty phenomenal.
Very cool, especially with the price point you already have and the lifetime warranty. Yeah. I'd say it's a great deal. So let me ask, and we've got just a couple of seconds left here, but I want to ask, you've probably obviously been around for a year now. You've kept track of your orders. Do you see a concentration of them going to a certain place? Like, is it mostly East Coast, West Coast? Is it all over? Are you guys shipping a lot of international?
Yeah, it is all over. We've shipped to about 34 countries already.
Wow.
And so we ship all over the United States. Canada is a big customer of us. They do quite a bit. But I would say if you took a percentage, it's probably, 60 to 65% East Coast. The West would be maybe 40-45%. So for some reason, we have pretty high concentrations, New York, Southern United States, Texas, that kind of thing.
Probably where all the big cons are, too. That's that might be why they want to take their lightsabers to the cons for cosplay.
Exactly. Yeah, probably. Well,
Sean Whitney, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on air. Once again, let me reiterate, it is KyberLight.com. You can go on there and order. And as he said, it's KyberLove17 for a promo code. If you want to use that within the next day or so, you can get that. And also follow them on Facebook, facebook.com/KyberLight. Sean, if you'd like, we can check in with you again here soon and see how things are going.
That'd be great. We'd love that. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Have a great day. There you go, too. Sean Bye-bye. Whitney, owner of Kyber Lightsabers. Yeah, especially with this being the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, there's someone you want to check out. KyberLight.com. We are going to be right back after this, so stand by here on Geek to Me Radio.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we are back here on Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. We are going to go right now to the phone lines to a guest we had on during our Halloween special. He is down right now at Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. Mr. Ben Ritchie, how are you, sir?
Good. Greetings from Star Wars Celebration.
Well, thank you. And also to you, is how they say. I think that's the greeting goes. So tell us a little bit about what's going on down there. How are things going? This is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, so I can imagine it's got to be a lot of energy down there.
It's the 40th anniversary. It's crazy. There are so many people here. It's the best kind of melting pot. Everywhere you look, you're surrounded by Mandalorians and Rodians and Twi'leks and...
Hold on, you can't say Twi'leks on the air, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I never know the rules.
Yeah, I see all your pictures on Facebook, and you had the Muppets dressed as stormtroopers. I mean, it just seems like you're having the best time.
Yeah, the Muppet Troopers are some of my favorite ones to run into. Every year they seem to add more. The first year it was just Kermit and Gonzo and Beaker, as far as I recall. The next year they added Rolf the dog. Gonzo ended up with a promotion playing a Darth Vader-esque character. Now they have Statler and Waldorf as Imperial officers.
That was cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I saw Sam Eagle was a stormtrooper. I saw in that last picture you posted.
Yeah, Sam's with them now. Obviously, he disapproves of everything.
Right, sure. That's a given. So I know, like myself, you are obsessed with collecting pops. Have you picked up any exclusives while you're down there at all?
I managed to get 6 of the 9 pop figures. The other 3 are still eluding me. I'll try again tomorrow. They also have, at the Funko station in particular, they have a Wacky Wobbler of the Boba Fett prototype, and they're selling plushies as well. I don't collect all of those lines. I want right. those pops, though.
Yeah, that Admiral Thrawn, that's the one I had my eye on. I'm going to have to find where they start selling that when they release these all to the general public. That'll be a great one. So if there was that one big...
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm in as an exhibitor, so I wasn't able to take part in the lottery, which means I'm part of the free-for-all feeding frenzy afterwards, and I get what's left, but I was lucky enough to get 6 of them. I got to get my hands on those other 3.
Well, you do best under pressure. That's when you do your best work, so I have confidence in you.
Thank you.
Not at all. And if you wanted to just sum up, I guess, what was the highlight? I know they had the Carrie Fisher tribute, which was huge. They had the Last Jedi trailer drop. If you had to sum up the highlight of the celebration so far, what would you say it was?
So far, yeah, watching that trailer with basically a warehouse hangar filled with Star Wars fans erupting into cheers afterwards. Before, during, and after. I mean, that was a huge moment.
And Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford are on hand. Peter Mayhew,
yeah,
I saw.
Seeing a few of the surprise faces on the panels with Ian McDiarmid and Hayden Christensen making a rare appearance, Warwick Davis hosting. You're in the same building as all these guys.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's got to be a lot of fun. I'm very jealous, and hopefully we'll be able to, maybe I'll be able to get down there next year. You never know. It won't be the big 40th anniversary, but still, you never know.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait 2 years, though. The next one's in 2019.
Oh, well, doggone it. I'm not going now. I'm boycotting just for that reason.
Forget that.
Ben Ritchie, we appreciate you taking the time out of your vacation down there to be on air with us. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the Star Wars Celebration.
You bet. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you. There he goes, Mr. Ben Ritchie. And we are going to go really quickly to our next interview. While we were at Wizard World St. Louis, we got the chance to talk to Sean Gunn. I saw the Belko experiment in theaters, and wow, that was an intense movie. I think it's still playing around St. Louis a few places if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet. The Belko Experiment, written by James Gunn, starring a huge cavalcade of stars. And we were able to catch up with Sean Gunn at Wizard World. Here's that interview.
We're here live at Wizard World with Sean Gunn. I just saw you in the Belko Experiment. That was a crazy movie. How was that filming process?
The Belko Experiment in theaters now was actually one of the most fun jobs I've ever had. We actually filmed for 6 weeks in Bogota, and it's a really excellent collection of actors, many of whom I've been friends with for years and years. And then I also made some new friends on the movie. So it was pretty fun that we were killing each other during the day and drinking and salsa dancing at night. It was a pretty good time.
So was that location, was that just an abandoned building? Was that built special for the movie?
There was a couple of different locations. There was one in an actual office building in Bogota where we shot a lot of the... some of the office scenes and cubicles and things like that. And then there was also a building out kind of in the middle of nowhere that we used for exteriors, and then also it built inside the lobby and the elevator shaft and things like that.
And your character, you seem like you had such fun with that role. I mean, that's just...
I did, being... yeah. I did, yeah. Marty's kind of a stoner, and I identified with how kind of a gentle guy he is, even though he's kind of freaking out and losing his mind.
And you've got another movie coming up soon, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 coming out.
Little indie film that we put together a Kickstarter and raised the funds to...
It's nice to see that happening.
Yeah, right. Isn't it nice to see? No, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes out May 5th. I have an expanded role in that movie, so I'm very happy about that. But regardless, I just am eager to share it with an audience. I think people are really going to love it.
And James Gunn did such a great job keeping a lot of this stuff under wraps. We haven't seen too much or heard too much of it. If you had to describe what we can expect from Guardians 2 that we didn't get out of Guardians 1, which was a fantastic film, what would you say we can look forward to?
I think Guardians 2 is kind of... That's a tough question. It's more in some ways and less in others. I mean, I think that the worlds are sort of expanded, but the number of principal characters is probably smaller. And I think that it's I think that in some ways it's a little funnier, but also a little darker. I think that all of the best elements of Guardians 1 have some sort of representation in the second movie.
Fantastic. We'll look forward to that coming out. And if you haven't seen Belko Experiment yet, get out and see it. It's still in theaters around here. Sean Gunn, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Sean Gunn, a very, very delightful guy. He was doing a special event for Cat Rescue while he was in town as well. We're looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We'll have our review on that when I don't think they've announced a screening date for it in St. Louis yet, but we're very eagerly awaiting its arrival in theaters on May the 4th, I believe. May the 5th. Somewhere in there. But we'll keep you apprised of all the stuff going on with that. We are going to take a quick break. We are going to come back with Casey Walsh from the Geeks Worldwide talking about This Week in Geek. So stand by on Geek to Me Radio.
Hey guys, this is Raoul Coley and I play Dr. Ravi Chakrabarty on the CW's iZombie, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Yeah! iZombie made its triumphant return a couple weeks ago. It's going strong on the CW Tuesday nights. Check your local listings for when that comes on. It's a fantastically brilliant, written, and underrated show. Raoul Coley was kind enough to be on air with us a few weeks ago, and we appreciate that. Also, I mentioned tonight, for all you people with looking for something to watch on the TV, Doctor Who Series 10 tonight on the BBC America. That's very exciting. This will apparently be Peter Capaldi's last series as the Doctor. He will be appearing at Wizard World Minneapolis coming up next month. If you're in that area or if you want to drive up to Minneapolis, seeing Peter Capaldi, 12th Doctor, that's worth it. And we are going to go right now to our friend on the West Coast, Casey Walsh from the Geeks Worldwide, giving us This Week in Geek. Casey, how are you?
What's up, James? How you doing?
Not bad, not bad. So what's been going on this week in Geek?
Oh, you know, nothing really at all. It's been a very slow news week.
I kind of figured. Yeah, we'll just hit some doldrum stuff, and we'll let you get back to whatever it was you're doing. So.
Yeah, right, man. There's been so much happening. So many awesome trailers dropping, so let's just get right into it. The first big one, that Last Jedi Star Wars trailer. James, what did you think?
I was impressed. I love the fact that I got goosebumps. I will say they did a great job and they didn't spoil anything. Nothing, no big like, oh my gosh, you know, this is happening. They did a great job of showing a lot of what we expect from Star Wars without giving anything away. And I'm more intrigued now than I was before. What about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. Like, I'm not like I'm not a diehard Star Wars fan like you. I enjoy the movies very much, but that's about the extent of it. But yeah, it's very exciting. I liked how it mirrors the very first Force Awakens trailer as well. It actually has the very kind of same beats and tones and just kind of flashes and doesn't really give us much. I mean, in fact, I bet you if you put them side by side, they're almost exactly the same in the kind of what they show. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to this one and seeing how you train a Jedi, how Luke trained a Jedi and how the dark side trained a Jedi and all that stuff.
And I'm interested to see too, a thought occurred to me when I was watching the trailer. There hasn't been another movie quite like it per se, but I wonder what sales will do because Carrie Fisher now being passed, I can almost liken it to Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. I wonder if we're going to see something happen with this movie as far as the Oscars and awards go, maybe.
That would be the hope. And I think that one thing that those award shows need is a like mainstream hit like this to bring in ratings. I think the Oscars this year, despite how good they were, the ratings were the lowest they've ever been. And yeah, I do think that this movie and the last one, or this movie in particular has a chance to set itself apart from the last one because it's not going to be this constant homage and nostalgia to the first Star Wars. It's going to finally get to branch off and do kind of its own thing. So yeah, there's a lot of potential there to be something different that we haven't seen in the Star Wars movie.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm interested to see how they end up, because obviously going into episode 9 without Carrie Fisher, and that'll be a very interesting thing to see what they do, how they do. They've already said they won't CGI her like they did with Grand Moff Tarkin, Peter Cushing's character in Rogue One, so it's going to be a very interesting next couple of movies.
Yeah, it's going to be heartbreaking if they kill her off in the movie as well. I think a lot of people will leave that movie theater very upset.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, because I know my friend Ben just called in last segment. He's down there at Star Wars Celebration, and he was telling me off air, he said, yeah, there were a lot of people crying during the Carrie Fisher tribute at Star Wars Celebration down there in Orlando right now, understandably so. It's still very fresh, her death, and to have a big celebration without someone like her who's always been a mainstay for these kind of events, I'm sure emotions ran high.
Yeah, and unfortunately, she's so integral to the story. You can't really do it, not a Heath Ledger, with the Paul Walker thing.
Yeah.
He kind of like flies off into an X-Wing to like another planet. He's like, I'm just going to go be alone for a while.
Right.
You can't do that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they kind of handle that situation.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see going forward. But I'm excited overall. I think the trailer was really good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I'm really excited to kind of, like I said, I'm most excited to see the story of Luke's fall and the Jedi Temple and all that stuff, and then Kylo's training. I really want to see what a dark Jedi's training kind of entails. That's something I don't think we've ever seen before.
Yeah, it'll be definitely some new chapters added to the Star Wars mythos. So I think that's gonna be the big ticket this Christmas, I think.
Yeah, I would say I would put good money on it for sure.
And so, where do you want to go next from here? I mean, we've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, what topic do you want to tackle next?
Well, there's got to be, I mean, let's go right into Thor if we have time. I don't know if you want to wait to do that to the next break, but that Thor trailer, man, talking about trailers, I think that was something truly, truly amazing, to be honest.
I do too. This is probably just the trailer alone. I think this probably looks like it will maybe the, not that the Thor movies have been bad, but this may be the best Thor movie we're getting yet.
This could rival like a Guardians movie, I think, in terms of like, does something different. I think James Gunn also gets a lot of credit for this, the aesthetic of this movie, as it is very much like he set up the aesthetic for that universe, and everything's very bright and colorful, and there's like this sheen to it that I don't think we get in a lot of sci-fi stuff, because usually it's like this apocalyptic kind of future kind of sci-fi mm-hmm. thing you get in space. But yeah, he's brought this like color to it, and then yeah, I don't know, Taika Waititi, I think is how you say his name.
That sounds
right. He is really just good. Going for it in a way that I love so much. There's so much about this trailer that I just love, and I can just talk about all day long.
Yeah, we've got just about a minute left in this segment, but so the Hulk reveal I think was my favorite part. Just the look on Chris Hemsworth's face when he realizes he's up against Hulk. That was hilarious. I mean, it just seems like they're going to have so much more fun with this than they did with the previous movies.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping there's a conversation in there where he ensues. There must be a conversation they had where the Hulk says, like, hey, we have to fight or we're going to be in big trouble. Because they seem to go from 0 to 100 really quickly.
Yeah, unless he's just back to being feral, green, savage Hulk from whatever this, you know, his time and space has done to him, maybe.
I've actually heard he's smarter now, so we may get some more, like, speaking things. Because I think he spends more time as a Hulk, so the personalities are merging more. So he may actually talk more and be more coherent as the Hulk in this one.
And that would be cool, because that 90s Hulk, when Dale Keown took over the book and started writing the merged personalities, he had Hulk's body and Banner's brain. That was one of my favorite Hulk runs, second only to the Grey Hulk series. So that'd be great if we have something like that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're kind of going for, because I think Mark Ruffalo was actually only on set for like a week.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he filmed very much while he was there. Yeah, so I think a lot of it's going to be in CGI form.
All right, well, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. We're going to go ahead and take our last break. We're going to come back and wrap it up. You mind sticking with us, Casey?
I sure will.
All right, we'll be right back with more with Casey Walsh from the Geeks Worldwide on Geek to Me Radio. Stand by.
Hello, this is Kari Payton, King Ezekiel from The Walking Dead, and I encourage everyone to listen to Geek to Me. It's a lovely program. Would I ever steer you wrong?
We are back on Geek to Me Radio, wrapping things up with Casey Walsh from the Geeks Worldwide. Casey, we've got about a minute or so left here. What's the last big story you want to get into this week?
Well, Cable has finally been cast in our Deadpool sequel, and I think it's someone that we've all didn't possibly think could be cast, but got the role, and it's Josh Brolin will be the man with the metal arm in Deadpool 2.
I think he looks the part. I think that's great. I would have rather seen Stephen Lang if I had my druthers, but oddly, Fox is not taking my calls anymore, so I guess I'll just be fine with Josh Brolin.
Yeah, see, I was pulling for Brad Pitt because I thought that would have been a really cool kind of dynamic with Brad Pitt and with Ryan Reynolds kind of together in a movie.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, Brolin is a great choice. He definitely has the look down for sure, and the gruff kind of like a seriousness down that a Cable character needs. But I'm just surprised that he's able to do both this and Infinity War, which is filming back to back movies. So he's going to be running from back. Seems like he's going to be running from set to set.
No kidding, and he'll be able to work cons the rest of his life, never have to work a day in his life. Casey, where can people find you if they want to look for you online?
You can find us at @the_GWW on Twitter and at thegww.com.
Casey Walsh from the Geeks Worldwide, thank you as always for coming on air.
No problem, anytime.
And that's it for our show. You can download this on Podomatic and iTunes coming up soon. Tune in next week and see what we get into. This is Geek to Me Radio. Thank you, St. Louis. Good night.